We come to you again, and we are studying together the 8th chapter of the Gospel through John. And I just pray that the Lord himself would be very precious to you as we discuss together the things of our Savior. How glad we are that the Spirit of God has come to lead us and to guide us into all truth. And we pray that your mind and my mind will be ever open to what the Spirit of God has to say to us through his word. Remember, the scriptures is God's communication to you and to me, and how we need to have our hearts and our minds open to what he has to say to us. We've been dealing in this 8th chapter of the Gospel through John with our Lord revealed as the light of the world. Not to follow him means to walk in darkness. Then he was manifested as the great liberator. He delivers, he liberates us from death. You remember he said, if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. But if a man keep my saying, he'll never see death. Then we have him, the ground of that liberation was the cross. He's going to be lifted up, and then men would know who he was. You have here the perfect Son of God in absolute submission to the word of his Father. You find this in verses 25 to 30. And then he's the one who delivers from slavery in verses 31 to 36. And as you stay in the word of God, as he said, if you abide in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And whomsoever the Son makes free or sets free is free indeed. And these Jews had said, you remember, we are never in bondage to any man. How blind can one be? Here they were self-deceived. They were slaves to Rome, they were slaves to their tradition, and they were slaves to sin. And there are none so blind as those who refuse to see. And may I say, my friend, the freedom is real. As Romans 8:2 says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath set me free from the law of sin and death. And as 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, you remember, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And our Lord came to set the captives free. And so we can sing, he breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. Now we were dealing with verses 37 to 51 in our last lesson, where our Lord claims to be sinless. And we were discussing that in our last lesson from verse 37 on down through. You remember, the Lord said, I know that you are Abraham's seed. That is, they were the descendants of Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and so on. But he said also in verse 39, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham, which are the works of faith. And you'll notice from verse 37, right down through verse 45, that our Lord is very, very pointedly informing them that they belong to one family and he belongs to another family. He claims that God is his Father, that he's the one who not only is the truth, but he speaks the truth, and that he was sent by the Father to the world to inform people of what the truth is. In fact, he accuses them. You remember, I speak that which I have seen of my Father, and you speak of that which you have seen with your Father. And by the way, the Lord Jesus did not believe in the common brotherhood of man and the common fatherhood of God. You may not like this, but Jesus never believed that. He said to these Jews, and remember they were religious Jews, I speak from my Father, you speak from your Father. Their answer was, in verse 41, notice how they abuse what he has to say. When Jesus said, you do the works of your Father, they said to him, we be not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God. They're inferring that our Lord was born of fornication. They're beginning to get nasty now. And Jesus said, if God were your Father, you'd love me. I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but my Father. He's the one who sent me. Why don't you understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Verse 44, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh the lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. You know, it's an amazing thing here. You have absolute revelation of the heart of these religious leaders. They has absolutely no love for the Savior. And having no love for the Savior, they're manifesting the fact they have no relationship to God. I would like to repeat that. When a person is not in right relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, then you have no relationship to God himself. And this is what our Lord is accusing them of here. You don't know God. If you knew God, you would know me. If you had your faith in God, you'd have your faith in me, because I came from God. No, sir, your father is the devil. And he was a murderer and a liar from the beginning. He's the father of lies. And because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Now mark the issue. You're in one family and I'm in the other family. I'm from God and you're from hell. Now he makes the challenge in verse 46. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Why don't people believe the truth? Because they're not of God. It's just that simple, my friends. Why don't people believe the truth today? Because they're not of God. Ignorance of God is the foundation for rebellion against God. He that is of God heareth God's words. And Jesus said, you hear them not, because you're not of God. Then answered the Jews and said to him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan, and you've got a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews to him, now we know that you have a devil. Abraham is dead, the prophets are dead, and you say, if a man keep my saying, he'll never taste of death? Are you greater than our father Abraham, who was dead? The prophets are dead. Who do you think you make yourself to be? God? You see, we're coming to the end of the argument of John. And here he is in this chapter, and allow me to repeat it. He claims to be the light of the world, the great deliverer from death, the great deliverer from slavery. Now he says in verse 46, I'm the sinless one. Which one of you convinceth me of sin? If I say the truth, why don't you believe it? My friend, what a challenge. And shall I say, what a claim. I'm the sinless one. He didn't say this to his friends, he said this to his enemies. Tell me, my friend, what would you say if I were to say on this radio program, I'm without sin? What would you say? You'd say, Mitchell, you're a liar. That's right. I wouldn't even think of making such a claim. And if you told me that you were without sin, I'd say you're a liar too. But here Jesus is saying to his enemies, and I take it that you're my friends when I say this. But Jesus said to his enemies, which one of you convinceth me of sin? And let me tell you this, my friend, if they could have found one act, one word, one attitude that was unrighteous, they would have jumped on the Savior like a pack of hungry wolves. You know what their answer was? Say we not well, you're a Samaritan, you're demon-possessed. May I remind you that his friends wrote of him? See, take John, for example. John walked with the Lord for 3.5 years on earth, and he met him after his resurrection. And what did John write? And I'm quoting from 1 John 3:5, when John wrote, "You know he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." In him is no sin. Now, Peter walked with the Lord also for approximately 3.5 years. All through the ministry of our Savior, Peter walked with the Savior. He met him after resurrection and was a transformed man. What did Peter write? And I quote from 1 Peter chapter 2, concerning our Savior, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again, but left all things to him who judgeth righteously. I'm quoting from 1 Peter chapter 2, 22 on to 24. Who did no sin. Peter said that. And remember, he had walked with the Lord for 3.5 years all through his ministry. And he said, he did no sin. John said, in him is no sin. The Apostle Paul, who was before a blasphemer, who opposed the Christian faith, what does he say after he met the Savior and knew the Savior? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21, he said, he who knew no sin was made sin for me and you, who knew no righteousness. He knew no sin. He also wrote in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 said, he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Now take these four scriptures, 1 John 3:5, 1 Peter 2:22-24, 2 Corinthians 5:21, and Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. What do you find? Our Lord, in him is no sin. He did no sin. He knew no sin. He was without sin. This is what his friends wrote. Now he challenged his enemies. Which one of you convinceth me of sin? You know their answer was, say we not, well unto you that you're a Samaritan and you have a devil. They accused Jesus of being demon-possessed. You remember you have the same thing in Matthew chapter 12, where you have the unpardonable sin. Our Lord cast out demons, and they accused Jesus of casting out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. In other words, they claim that Jesus belonged to hell. After all his wonderful, gracious works, the cleansing of lepers, the opening the eyes of the blind, the healing of the sick, the raising of the dead, the feeding of the poor, after seeing all the manifestations of his deity, of his messiahship, they say you're from hell. You see, they must either say that Jesus Christ is from God, or they must say he's from hell. What do you say? What do you say? Friend, your answer to that question is going to determine your eternal welfare, because if Christ is from heaven, if he's from God, then what he says is the truth. And there's nothing left for you to do but to put your trust in him as your Savior. If you deny him and his claims, there's nothing left but eternal night. As Jesus said in this chapter, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. I am the one who delivers you from death. I am the one who can liberate you from slavery. I am the sinless one. Are you going to join with those who bow and worship? Or are you going to stand by these Jews and say you're demon-possessed? This is the issue. Now mark his answer. Jesus said in verse 49, I do not have a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth, and that's God, of course. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he'll never see death. Why, what a challenge. By the way, you remember in the book of Genesis, God said to Adam and Eve in chapters 2 and 3 of Genesis, you've got the choice. If you eat of that tree, you'll die. They had a choice of life and death. They chose death. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, in verses 15 and 19, God said through Moses to Israel, choose today life or death, good or evil. You come to the prophets, you have the same thing. Choose today life or death. The choice is yours. You have the capacity, my friend, to either accept or reject. Jesus said, if a man keep my saying, he'll never see death. In verse 24 he says, if you believe not that I am he, you'll die in your sins. The issue is very clear. Jesus said, I am the sinless one. And if a man keep my saying, for I came from God, the words I speak are my Father's words. The works that I do are my Father's works. I came from heaven. I came into the human race to reveal to you God. If you believe what I say, if you keep my saying, you'll never see death. You'll never see death. Or putting it the other way around, if a man believes on me, he has eternal life. He that believeth on me, said Jesus, has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. Chapter 5. And all through John, you've had this same thing brought before us. You have to choose life or death, and the difference between life and death is Jesus Christ. You have it in this passage, 24, verse 51. I remember one time, a young man calling up where I was staying. I was holding meetings in Pennsylvania. About 3 o'clock in the morning, the phone rang. I happened to be still up, sitting in my Bible. And I thought it would be someone wanting the man of the house who was a troubleshooter for the Pennsylvania Railroad. He was called all hours of the day. And, of course, I thought naturally he was going to call up for my host, who was a troubleshooter for the railroad. The voice at this end said, is Mr. Mitchell still up? And I said, I'm talking to you right now. He said, can I come over to see you? I said, sure, come on over. And this young man in his 20s came over to see me. I found he was a superintendent of a Sunday school. And he made this amazing statement. He said, Mr. Mitchell, I really don't know whether I'm saved or whether I'm lost. So we talked to him about the gospel and about his responsibility and relationship to Jesus Christ. And it just seemed, in fact, he said to me, Mr. Mitchell, I've used all those verses in our Sunday school. But still, I have a great question mark as to whether I'm saved. I had talked about to as many as received him, to them he gives the right to become the children of God. And he said, I've used that verse myself. And then the Lord brought these two verses in chapter 8 to my mind, in verse 24 and verse 51, where Jesus said, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Verse 51, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now I said to this young man, you are either in verse 24 or you're in verse 51. Now which verse are you in? He said, Mr. Mitchell, I'm afraid I'm in verse 424. I said, well, hurry up and get into verse 51. And he looked at me with a, I can't tell you how he looked, as if he had received something entirely new. And he said, I'm coming into verse 51. If a man keep my saying, he'll never see death. And Jesus said, what are his sayings? He that believeth on me shall never die. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. He that believeth on me shall become a child of the living God. Why don't you do that? If you're in verse 24, I say unto you, shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, the Savior, the Lord from heaven, you'll die in your sins. If a man keep my saying, he'll never see death. It's just that simple. Friend, the sinless one who was made sin for you, that you might become a child of God, that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. They said, the Jews said, you're demon-possessed. What do you say? Friend, the issue is right before us. Either Jesus Christ is what he claimed to be, the sinless one, the light of the world, the great deliverer, or He's telling a lie. He's not what he claimed to be. He's false. This is the issue. Jesus Christ is either worthy of your worship or is worthy of being stoned. And you can't ride the fence on this, brother. The question is he your Savior? Have you put your trust in him? I'm not asking you whether you're good, bad, or indifferent. I'm not asking you whether you're religious or irreligious. I'm not asking you whether you're a church member or you're not a church member. I'm asking the simple question. What is Jesus Christ to you? This one who is the light of the world. This one who is the sinless one. This is the one who is the great deliverer from sin and slavery and death. And he says, if you keep my saying, you'll never see death. Now plead with your heart to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior today. And remember, his arms are still outstretched. He still loves men and women. He loves you. That's why he died for you. Why don't you put your trust in him and pass from death to life? And you can have that today. So put your trust in him now for his name's sake.